Welcome to the Freshwater Seas production of Psychopathology of Everyday Life by Sigmund Freud. Authorized English edition with introduction by A. Brill. Ninth Impression, 1922. Performed by Robert Bethune. Introduction. Professor Freud developed his system of psychoanalysis while studying the so-called borderline cases of mental diseases, such as hysteria and compulsion neurosis. By discarding the old methods of treatment and strictly applying himself to a study of the patient's life, he discovered that the hitherto puzzling symptoms had a definite meaning and that there was nothing arbitrary in any morbid manifestation. Psychoanalysis always showed that they referred to some definite problem or conflict of the person concerned. It was while tracing back the abnormal to the normal that Professor Freud found how faint the line of demarcation was between the normal and neurotic person, and that the psychopathologic mechanisms so glaringly observed in the psychoneuroses and psychoses could usually be demonstrated in a lesser degree in normal persons. This led to a study of the faulty actions of everyday life, and later to the publication of The Psychopathology of Everyday Life, a book which passed through 4 editions in Germany and is considered the author's most popular work. With great ingenuity and penetration, the author throws much light on the complex problems of human behavior, and clearly demonstrates that the hitherto considered impassable gap between normal and abnormal mental states is more apparent than real. This translation is made of the 4th German edition, and while the original text was strictly followed, linguistic difficulties often made it necessary to modify or substitute some of the author's cases by examples comprehensible to the English-speaking reader. A. Brill, New York. One. Forgetting of proper names. During the year 1898, I published a short essay on the psychic mechanism of forgetfulness. I shall now repeat its contents and take it as a starting point for further discussion. I have there undertaken a psychologic analysis of a common case of temporary forgetfulness of proper names, and, from a pregnant example of my own observation, I have reached the conclusion that this frequent and practically unimportant occurrence of a failure of a psychic function, of memory, admits of an explanation which goes beyond the customary utilization of this phenomenon. If an average psychologist should be asked to explain how it happens that we often fail to recall a name which we are sure we know, he would probably content himself with the answer that proper names are more apt to be forgotten than any other content of memory. He might give plausible reasons for this forgetting preference for proper names, but he would not assume any deep determinant for the process. I was led to examine exhaustively the phenomenon of temporary forgetfulness through the observation of certain peculiarities, which, although not general, can nevertheless be seen clearly in some cases. In these there is not only forgetfulness, but also false recollection. He who strives for the escaped name brings to consciousness others, substitutive names, which, although immediately recognized as false, nevertheless obtrude themselves with great tenacity. The process which should lead to the reproduction of the lost name is, as it were, displaced, and thus brings one to an incorrect substitute. Now it is my assumption that the displacement is not left to psychic arbitrariness, but that it follows lawful and rational paths. In other words, I assume that the substitutive name, or names, stands in direct relation to the lost name, and I hope, if I succeed in demonstrating this connection, to throw light on the origin of the forgetting of names. In the example which I selected for analysis in 1898, I vainly strove to recall the name of the master who made the imposing frescoes of the Last Judgment in the dome of Orvieto. Instead of the lost name, Signorelli, 2 other names of artists, Botticelli and Boltraffio, obtruded themselves, names which my judgment immediately and definitely rejected as being incorrect. When the correct name was imparted to me by an outsider, I recognized it at once without any hesitation. The examination of the influence and association paths which caused the displacement from Signorelli to Botticelli and Boltraffio